Hey Beeps, it's me, Christine, and I want to share with you a game-changing product that has improved my sleep and daily health. So let's dive in. You all know through my journey, I have struggled with sleep, being afraid of it, not getting quality sleep, and not being able to regulate my temperature throughout the night. I definitely learned the hard way, but sleep matters big time. It's when your muscles repair, your brain detoxes, and your body can work on cellular renewal. We just can't afford to miss out on an adequate amount of high-quality sleep, which is kind of hard when you have a rare disease. There's not much that I control in this real life, but one of the easiest and most effective ways to get better sleep every single night is through temperature regulation. Studies actually prove cooler temperatures lead to a deeper, more restful sleep, and that insomniacs actually lack this natural drop in core body temperature, which is what keeps them up at night. Personally, I run hot. This means that even if my room is super cold, I wake up in a pool of sweat, uncomfortable, changing my clothes several times throughout the night. It's frustrating for obvious reasons, and this is why I was so relieved to discover this transformative product from Chili. The Cube from Chili Sleep is a system that fits right over the top of your mattress and uses water to control the temperature of your bed, which helps lower your internal temperature and triggers deeper, relaxing sleep. Since water has 30 times more thermal conductivity than air, these systems are a lot more effective than just cranking up the AC. I mean, I keep my house at 65, so it has to be true. Ever since I started using the Cube system, I've noticed I fall asleep a lot faster, sleep deeper, and wake up feeling fully rested. Now, my wife is not a polar bear like me and likes to sleep a little bit warmer. So I love that we can each have our own temperatures on either side of the bed. Chili products can range between 55 and 115 degrees. Right now, Chili is offering my audience a really great deal. When you go to chilisleep.com/findyourrare20, you get 20% off the Cube All Sleep Systems with Find Your Rare 20. Sleep is something we could all use more of, and we can all take small steps towards getting better sleep to improve our life in big ways. I hope you'll check out the Chili Sleep System and see why I love their product so much.
Welcome to the Because We're Strong podcast, where we talk all things rare disease and chronic illness and how to navigate a rare life. Together, we're sitting down every week to get your stories and insight on how you navigate this rare life. You can expect everything real and raw in the hopes that your story, along with ours, helps another person who is dealing with a similar rare struggle. So grab your favorite drink, a comfy blanket, and buckle in, because rare disease isn't for the faint of heart. Hey peeps, we're back this week and we're touching on a topic that is incredibly invisible and also very near and dear to my heart. If you didn't know, October is Infant Loss Awareness Month, and being someone who has lost a child before, this topic is a challenging one that many women face alone and in silence. So this week, we're speaking with Kiara, a woman who through her own loss creates art to help others heal. I'm your host, Teresa.
And I'm Christine.
So let's dive in.
Hey, Kiara, thank you so much for being here today.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
First off, we want to thank you for coming on here and sharing your story with us and our listeners. I know this topic is a tough one, so speaking on it is incredibly brave and honorable and inspiring. So for everyone listening, I came across Kiara on Instagram, actually by surprise. One day I was sitting at my computer, I was having a really rough afternoon, and I got a notification on my phone from Instagram that I was tagged in a picture. So I opened up my feed and it links to Kiara's Instagram, who, mind you, at the time, I had no idea who Kiara was. So I was super confused. And I remember opening the post that day and just looking at it and really being like, holy crap, this really looks like my family and I don't know what's going on. And then I further looked at the drawing and I was like, oh my God, that is my family. And my family in this picture was holding hands with Jesus, and Jesus was holding our baby, which before Michael Jr., we, you know, had a child and we miscarried that child. And
Junior was a rainbow baby.
Yeah, Junior was a rainbow baby.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. So I immediately started to just cry and just burst into tears. And I couldn't even believe what I was looking at, because I think of our baby often, but in that moment I was like, oh my gosh, I haven't thought about our baby in a really long time. So just to see a family portrait like that incorporating our baby by someone I never even met was really, really cool. So I want to thank you for that, because I had no idea who you were, and you made my day so incredible, and you had such an impact on me, and it was totally by surprise. So I'm very thankful that you did that for me.
Oh, you are so welcome. I love creating portraits.
Kara, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and what led you to create such powerful artwork and raise awareness for this?
For sure. So I have had 5 miscarriages, and I kind of never really dealt with the trauma or anything until after my third rainbow baby was born. And about 8 months after, one of my best friends had a miscarriage, and it really brought up everything that I had gone through. And it was like, I realized that I had just kind of been busy and kind of distracted myself from it. But I, all of a sudden, I felt like the day I lost one of my babies. And, my therapist was like, you should write down your feelings and journal your thoughts as a form of healing. And I went to go do that. And I ended up drawing. And I started off drawing my brother. I have a brother who passed of SIDS when I was little. And I drew him to our family photos. And then it was like, I want to draw my family. So I started drawing my family and my babies. And it was such a healing experience for me. I just really worked through everything that I had been feeling and kind of found closure to something that had been really raw and open for me for a long time. And I started posting them on Instagram. I made like a separate Instagram account for them. And I really didn't expect anything to come of it. It was more of just like an organizational, I'm going to have a separate place for them. And people started really liking them and asking me to do them for them. And they were having the same experience and telling me that it was helping them heal and it was bringing them peace. And it just kind of grew and grew. So it really started very humbly. It's just like a place to put my art. And then I realized that people were having the same experience I did. And it kind of started to grow into more than that.
That's so cool. I mean, you never know how much pain that you experience could help someone else. And, you know, especially with a topic like this, people that are trying to have children, it's such a sensitive topic. And when you do lose a child, you just kind of, you know, you feel like the rest of the world moves on. At least that's how I felt. And, you know, you don't really know what to do with that. So I think you taking your own story and your own pain and using it to help others is empowering. It's flipping the script, I think, in a way.
Oh, thank you so much. That's what I'm trying to do. It was such a lonely, lonely time in my life. Like you said, it's an invisible pain to most people because they don't see anything on the outside. They think you're okay. Or if people haven't been through it, they kind of think, oh, it was early, or oh, you're fine. Oh, you're young. Oh, you'll have another chance, you know, but it's very heavy. And speaking to it kind of helps us face it. And no, we're not alone.
Exactly. When looking at your Instagram, you really touch on some really sensitive yet important topics when it comes to miscarriage. I remember coming across one of your reels. We actually talked about it earlier, where you kind of created a toolkit for, you know, mothers that are going to be miscarrying at home. What made you come up with that? And, you know, what made you decide to actually share that kit with the world?
Totally. So there's a nonprofit called Heaven's Gain, and it's like heavensgain.org, I think, is their site. And they have a miscarriage kit. That's how I even discovered it. It was never presented as an option for me personally, but I went online to kind of research different options because I thought there has to be something better out there. And so I found it, and theirs is really cool. And it comes with like pictures of what your baby might look like depending on their gestational age. And so I shared that on social media, and I had so many comments of people saying, what if it doesn't get there in time? And that's too expensive, or like just very stressed out, like wanting this solution, but stressed out about these other factors. And so I was like, okay, well, what's the next best thing? Okay, let's come up with our own version. So I went to the dollar store to find the cheapest, because most people have access to a dollar store. And I was trying to find the cheapest solution to knock down, hopefully, that financial barrier so people can still have this solution. And I just tried to kind of put something together myself that would also serve the same purpose. And then I went ahead and shared that, and I was blown away with the response to that. So many people, if you like just reading the comments on that video, is a transformative experience. Thousands of women just saying, I wish I would have known this. And it just shows how needed this really is in our medical community.
Well, speaking on that, because, you know, social media is a very vulnerable place, and this is a sensitive topic and one of those topics that people have like strong views about. What was the response like in the comments? Were they positive, negative? Can you talk us through that?
Yeah, so I would say the most majority was very positive, very like they wish they would have known, or very thankful that they have this option. I had actually a lot of people who had never gone through loss thank me and say, thank you so much, because now I understand. I never knew this is what women would go through, and now I understand. I even had men commenting, saying similar things like, oh, I had no idea this is what women went through with miscarriage. And so it kind of opened a lot of people's eyes to what women are going through and what a home miscarriage actually looks like, and give appreciation for that process. And then a lot of women, like I said, just being thankful that they understand that this is an option now. There were, of course, you know, negative as social media, there's kind of always that negative side of people saying like, oh, this is disgusting. Why would you do this? This is unnatural. And then just other like really crude comments about the baby. But I think overall it was really positive. So I tried to push through the negative comments and just, leave it up to hopefully help women who actually could benefit from it.
No, absolutely. I love that. The video, if you haven't seen it, is on Instagram. We'll link that to the show notes so you guys can see it. But at the end of the video, you say something so powerful. You say, it's okay to grieve the loss of your baby, something to that effect. And I think that is just such a powerful statement when someone validates you by saying like, it's okay.
Yes.
And I think, you know, you're doing that, and that's just amazing. What advice do you have for those who are struggling to conceive, or those who have lost a child? I mean, I'm struggling with that. So what would you say to, you know, help them out?
Yeah. I mean, I think both our struggles are kind of unique in their own. For loss, I think my biggest advice is to let yourself grieve. Give yourself time to heal, be able to have someone that you can talk to. And especially I love my husband, but I think having someone outside of your spouse that can really understand what you're going through to talk to, unfiltered about, is so powerful and so healing. I talk a lot about journaling is very healing as well. And just really giving yourself permission to be different than you were before. The biggest thing I hear is, I just want to go back to normal. I want to feel like myself again, but yourself is different. Grief is a transformative experience. And so kind of validating that and recognizing that it's okay to be different and change a little is so powerful and can really help you move forward. As for infertility and trying to get pregnant, I do not have that struggle in my life. But I have so many close friends that have, and I feel like they're both really similar with their very grieving, kind of a yearning feeling that come with both feelings. So that's why I do speak on it still. But for infertility, I think the biggest thing is honestly just being patient with yourself and like letting yourself feel feelings. Like I speak on this a lot of like, it's okay to not go to a baby shower because it hurts. It's okay to, you know, not follow or people that are pregnant because it's triggering. And I think it's okay to let yourself have space from people that are going to support you through that. It's a day by day thing for sure. And I think some days it's like, yes, I got this. I'm on top of the world. Like I'm crushing it. And then other days it's just like, I don't even want to get out of bed. So, I think being patient with yourself as you go through the process and, you know, still trying to find joy the best you can in life, is the best thing that you can do.
I think that is great advice. I think a lot of times, I mean, I didn't even feel like I could grieve because I felt like people just weren't going to get it. I felt like people were going to be like, oh, just move on. Like it's not a big deal. How could you be connected? But it is, it's like, if you feel like if other people aren't going to acknowledge the loss that you are suffering, then how can you even properly grieve it? If that makes sense. Right. So I think that's great advice. And, you know, the baby shower advice, I think a lot of women need to hear that. Like, it doesn't make you
reasons though. Like,
yeah,
I know, like right now, like all my friends are getting pregnant and it is, I'm so happy for them, like from the bottom of my heart, but I'm also so sad. And like, those are hard to balance.
Totally. And I think people think that faith and fear are exclusive, or like happiness and sadness are exclusive, but I really think you can feel both at the same time. You know, so happy for your friends and family, but also sad for you, and that's okay. You can have both.
And like you said, almost, you know, you are grieving the life that you didn't have. Like there's a part of you that is forever changed. And that's why, you know, we thought it was so important to share the story, because this invisible struggle ties, for me, it feels a lot like when no one acknowledges how I'm feeling when I'm sick. And, you know, we have to bring these issues to light.
Right. Totally.
What do you think is the most helpful thing that people kind of outside the grieving circle can do for those who have experienced the loss of a child?
I think the best thing for supporting your friends and family going through loss is to be a non-judgmental sounding board for them. Because so many times, you know, you want to talk about it, but you're so afraid that someone won't understand that you just don't. And so I think letting your friend know, like, hey, I don't understand what you're going through, but I want to be there for you. What can I do or say to help you through this time? And just opening that door. And they may not want to talk about it, or they might be praying for someone to talk about it. And I think when you are grieving, it's so hard to know who wants to hear it. Cause some people are, it makes them too uncomfortable and you're just like, well, they don't understand or whatever, but letting them know that you care enough to give them that place to just listen, you know, and be there for them is so powerful. The other thing I like to do for my friends that have gone through loss is I like to bring them dinner. I know it's simple, but it's just one less thing when you're grieving. You do not want to make dinner. And so I like to just bring them food, try to help take that off their plate. I like to bring them gifts, and like, it's like my love language. And so I love to like make a little gift basket, and just let them know that I really care about them and thinking about them, and just validate their feelings and that their baby was real and that their feelings are real and that they're still a mom. Because when you're in that place, you need someone to just validate you so much. And so, that's definitely the biggest thing I think you could do to support, friends and family.
No, something you said to me, like, really hit me. And that's, I'm the same way I feel about like gifts, is my love language, like outward. Like, I just always want to like put something together, which I think is why I love your art so much, is because you're kind of expressing your support through that, like through your pieces. How has your experience been with those around you and allowing like you to grieve your process?
You know, at the time of my losses, like I said, it was just really, I was very isolated, because I was a very young bride. I got pregnant very unexpectedly. None of my friends, knew even a glimpse of what I was going through. And my, I tried to talk to my mom about it, but, my mom just didn't understand either. And so after, like, she kind of shut me down, it was like, I just kind of went inside myself and I didn't really have that support at all, from anybody. And so that was really hard. But now as I started opening up about it on social media, I was able to kind of turn my pain, and everything that I'd felt into something positive by, paying it forward. And, I've had so much acceptance and love from all of my friends that have come to support that venture for me. And by just sharing my content, liking my content, or, paying it forward. And so it's kind of a delayed support, but yeah, now, as I've gotten older, it's been, 7 years since my first miscarriage, but, yeah, I finally kind of feel that closure and support and love from family.
That's good. I mean, you know, when you go through something like this and you know, you've been through it a lot, it's not just once, it's, you know, you've been through it a lot and repeatedly, it can be really challenging. So I'm glad that you are, you know, getting the support that you needed. You did finally, though, have success with having a child. Can you tell our listeners about that, kind of what that was like? You know, I'm sure while you were carrying her, you were probably terrified. I mean, that's a very natural reaction after you experience loss. So can you tell everyone a little about that?
Yeah. So my first rainbow baby, I have 3 miscarriages, and then I got pregnant with my first rainbow daughter. And yes, like you said, I was an anxiety ball the whole time. I was constantly going to the bathroom, checking for blood. I was always just like standing over garbage cans to make sure I was still nauseous. I was so scared of losing symptoms, or like I was always pushing on my boobs. Like I was like, are they still sore? Are they getting bigger? Okay. Like I'm still pregnant. Like I just was so hypersensitive to every single little thing going on with my body. And then, you know, I didn't buy anything for my baby until I saw an ultrasound of her at like, I think 15 weeks, because I was so scared of like having those things come back to haunt me. Like I didn't want anything. I tried to not feel connected to something that was inevitably very connected to me. And just tried, like, it was such a mind game trying to get through those first, weeks, especially the first trimester. But, as I went further along, usually after like 25 or 26 weeks is the week of viability, where they'll help the baby survive outside of your womb. Once I got to that point, I like kind of took a deep breath and was like, okay, so I'm probably at least going to hold this baby. And that's kind of when I would let myself relax, but it was exhausting getting through it. And then the first year of her life, I literally never put her down. Like she did not know life not being held by someone. Because I was like, I don't know if I'll ever have another baby. I don't know if this will ever happen for me again. This might be it. And so I just ate her up like every minute. Like she did not know what it was like to sit in a swing or anything. Like she was like, I was so committed. And so I just ate up every little moment with her. And then I had another miscarriage, and then my second rainbow daughter, same thing. And then my third, I had a miscarriage before her that was just really awful. It was just really painful, long drawn out. My grandpa died the same day I started bleeding. And then I woke up the next day with laryngitis. So it was just like a whole thing of like, what is happening right now? And so I called my doctor, as that miscarriage was going on. And I said, like, I need to be seen. Cause up until this point, my doctor had never tested me. And I was like, I can't do this anymore. I am so exhausted from losing these babies. I can't do it. I want to be tested. I need to know why this is happening. So, they couldn't get me in for a month. And so I was like, okay. So I, you know, the miscarriage continued. I went, we kept trying to get pregnant because we were ready to have another baby. And so I went into my doctor and I was like, hey, can you just do an ECG test just in case? Because I really think I might be pregnant, but I keep getting negatives. And they're like, yeah, okay. So the next day I got a positive pregnancy test. And so I called them and I was like, hey, I'm pregnant. And they were like, oh, well, your HCG is 5, which is the absolute lowest it could be to be considered pregnant. So right. 5 and above is pregnant. And so they were like, I don't know if it's going to stick because it was so low. This was like a week after my miss period. My HCG was only 5. But they were like, we're going to rush your labs. So I found out I had low progesterone. And they put me on progesterone that day that I got the positive test. And I was able to carry her. I was on progesterone for 14 weeks. And then at 36 weeks, I gave birth to her. My water broke. But I, yeah, so very beautiful timing. I was able to carry her because otherwise she was measuring a week behind and probably wouldn't have made it had I not had that intervention. And then hindsight, my other daughters I carried without medical help. It was because I conceived them right after a miscarriage. So like usually you calculate your due date the first day of your last period. But for me, that first day of my last period was the first day of the miscarriage. And because that happened, my progesterone levels were naturally elevated. And so I was able to carry them without medical help.
So I'm actually really glad that you brought that up. And that kind of was going to be my next question for you. So one thing that I didn't even realize when I first miscarried was how common it was. You know, like it, like when I'm from a huge family, and I swear, I always joke, like my family's Fertile Myrtles. I have 6 sisters and 4 brothers. Family. And yeah, it's like ridiculous. And there's a million grandkids. I think, I don't even know what number my children are because it's just at this point insane. Yeah. So it never occurred to me, you know, that I could miscarry a baby or whatever, but it is extremely common. And I was wondering when I was hearing your story, I'm like, did anybody like think to be like, okay, let's figure this out. Like, why is she miscarrying all the time? And like, I had the same thing you did, a progesterone issue. And I just don't even feel like it's like never even really an option that's like given to test for that. Or like, I don't know. I just feel like it's like, okay, you're miscarrying. It's not going to be a viable pregnancy. You're going to go home. This is what you're going to do. Blah, 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 blah. Here's when to call the doctor. But there is no follow-up. At least there wasn't to be like, let's see why this happened.
Right. And that's one of my biggest frustrations with the medical community when it comes to miscarriage, because you are sent home. And if you are doing home miscarriage, because some people do opt for the DNC. And it's just like, for me, at least, it was just like, oh, it's like a heavy period. We'll do a follow-up ultrasound to make sure that everything's out. But that was it. Like, there is no other, like, how are you doing mentally? How are you grieving? Like, there was nothing to follow up to make sure that I was doing okay. And it was really frustrating. No one was like, hey, let's figure this out. Let's find out why you're losing these babies. And so, you know, I was very young, not that young as an excuse, but I was 19. And when I had my first 3, and I had nobody to tell me like, hey, Kiara, go figure this out. And I was in such a place of grief that it was just like, I didn't even think of like researching it. Like, I just kind of depended on my doctor to present those options to me. And so it was just crossing my fingers every time. Hopefully this time it works. I had no idea.
I do think you bring it.
So that is that the only problem that they've really found for you in terms of, you know, carrying your children and carrying them successfully, that is that you have a progesterone issue? Is there anything else that they have found, or is that what they kind of came to with their conclusion?
That was the only thing that they came through to, but I think that's honestly the only thing they tested, because that's the only thing I demanded. I was like, can you please test my progesterone levels? And so they did that. But they didn't run any tests. They didn't offer to run any other tests. I'm personally really curious if I have the MTHFR gene mutation because I do have like a grandma, like a great grandma that has it. So I'm kind of curious if that is something else I have, but I've never been tested.
Can you explain that gene mutation for those who are listening?
Yeah, I wish I knew more about it, but it basically affects your body's ability to absorb folic acid. And if you have it and you're taking prenatal pills, it's actually doing nothing for you or your baby. It's never getting to the baby. And so they kind of, if you have that gene mutation, they put you on different supplements to help you achieve a healthy pregnancy.
Okay. And one last question I have for you before we get more into your artwork is, you know, did you experience any anger once you found out that it most likely was a progesterone issue? Because I know for me, I was so angry. And I was angry at my doctors. And I was also, you know, kind of blame myself a little bit, which, you know, obviously isn't fair. But I just felt like, oh my God, like, could I have carried this baby if I would have known and just like supplemented my progesterone? Would my baby be here? So I'm curious, you know, once you found that out, how that was for you.
Right. I don't know if anger, I think maybe a little bit of anger for my doctor, but the biggest thing was I felt so guilty about, I felt like I had failed. Like I was like, I can't believe that this whole time I could have had avoided, I could have avoided all of that pain and suffering and loss. And I could have had these children here. And I did struggle with those feelings for a little bit, but ultimately I was like, you know what, but if I would have had those babies, I wouldn't have had the kids I have today. And I just absolutely can't regret anything about the daughters I have today. They're absolutely amazing. And so I just was like, you know what, that was my journey. That was God's journey for me. And I found so much reason, I guess, in my loss because I lost all those babies. I'm able now to speak on this topic. And, you know, I think sometimes it takes that kind of loss in order to help other people. And so I just hope that I'm able to do those little lives justice while helping raise awareness about this topic and help other women.
That's awesome. I, you know, when you say if, you know, I didn't go through what I went through, you know, the babies that I have now, I think that is a really huge aspect that, you know, I think about that a lot. And I don't know about you. I pray with my kids and I tell them that they, you know, had a sibling and I ask God to watch over their sibling for them. And my son is now almost six and he's been asking me about it. And I'm trying to like find the appropriate way to explain it to him. And to be completely honest, I didn't really have the words, and your artwork gave me the words. You know, I ordered it, it came in the mail, and immediately my almost six-year-old son was like, oh my gosh, mom, that's the baby that you're talking about. That's the baby that, you know, we pray to God to every night. Look, God's holding him or her. God's holding him or her. So, you know, I do think that there's so much power through your artwork because sometimes you don't have the words. Sometimes you just need, you know, that picture. And, you know, I don't know how it is for you with your girls. I don't know if you talk to them about, if they're at the age that you can talk about it yet, if you will share that. But just for me and my own personal journey, I'm incredibly grateful for your artwork because it's given me a way to explain it to my boys without having to use any real words.
Oh, I love that. That was so awesome. I do have a portrait of our family with Christ holding our angel babies, and they do know about them. They don't talk about them too much, but every once in a while, when my kids are sad, especially, I just like to remind them how big of a miracle they are and how their siblings, we kind of go over everyone that they know in heaven and that they're watching over them, or like when they're scared, we're like, you know what, you have 5 siblings, brothers or sisters in heaven, and your uncle and your grandpa. And so I think they do find comfort in knowing about them and knowing that they're going to be, you know, little angels watching over them And I totally agree. I think, you know, kids are very visual learners. That's why they love picture books. And so having that portrait in our house, I think really helps kind of solidify that those were real little little babies that had come to Earth for a little bit.
I love that. Babies that came to Earth for a little bit. And I, like we were talking before the show, even in my life, you've given me a new way of thinking about what my mom went through, because I was younger at the time. And when she said it, it was kind of like here and gone, but you know, she carries that. So thank you. What is next for you? What is next on the horizon for your artwork?
Yeah, I think my heart is really kind of pivoting to, I want to start a nonprofit is my next kind of big vision. I would love to be able to partner with, you know, hospitals and doctors and be able to provide miscarriage kits for free for everyone who needs one or wants one, and just kind of have the miscarriage kit option be integrated into our medical system. I would love like to see it in the medical schools. I would love to see it in offices and just kind of,
so cool.
Yeah. I just really want to, because I just think so many women are going through this trauma and it's so easy to provide a miscarriage kit. I would just love to be able to provide those to everyone who needs them. And then eventually long-term goal to have, it just be a norm that doctors offer that option to women, and also provide postpartum care. Most women after miscarriage don't know that they can still be going through postpartum mood disorders like postpartum depression, postpartum anxiety, postpartum OCD, postpartum PTSD, and postpartum psychosis. Most people don't even know what those are or what the symptoms are. And so I would love to start providing pamphlets for doctors and hospitals to hand out that could go over all of these things to be on the lookout for, because it is really normal for after your body is pregnant and not pregnant, you're going through a huge hormonal shift very quickly. And it's normal to suffer from one of those and have no idea. And you just think, I don't feel like myself. Why am I angry all the time? Why am I anxious all the time? Why am I not able to get out of bed or whatever? And knowing that there is an actual word for what you're going through and that it's not all in your head and that there's treatment available, I think is so powerful. So I just want to get that to be supported by our medical community to help the most people that we can.
I love that. I love that so much. I think, you know, even just to hear you say to just make it a normal part of the process, I think, you know, why wouldn't it be? You know, it's such a common thing and so many women experience it, but yet at the same time, when it happens, we feel incredibly blindsided. So I think that's awesome. And I really do, you know, the kits, I think it's genius, and, you know, you can just do so much with that. So I think, you know, I hope to see it. I really do. And the pamphlets and everything else, I think it would be amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, that's my hope. So we'll see, trying to get everything off the ground, but I would love to see that become a norm. Like you said, it's so common. And yet the level of care for us going through that is so minimal. So I definitely think we can do better.
Absolutely. In so many ways, but this is a great start. Before we let you go, where can people find you to follow your journey or connect?
Yeah, I hang out on Instagram. It's at Kiera _B_art. And also TikTok I'm on is the same name. And also my website is just KieraButcher.com.
You can find all of those in the show notes. Thank you, Kiera.
Yeah.
Kiera, thank you for using your story and your struggle to create hope for so many women who carry the burden of infant loss, and they carry that burden in silence. You know, losing a child stays with you forever. And there's not a day that goes by that I don't wonder what my baby would have looked like or what type of personality they would have had. Through your artwork, you really celebrated my child and the children of so many others. And I don't even think you maybe even realize, you know, the voice that you're giving these women who feel like they're suffering in silence. So thank you for being brave enough to do so and coming on Because We're Strong to share your story.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tune in next week for a brand new episode of Because We're Strong, where we bridge the gap between invisible illnesses, chronic illness, rare disease, and the rest of the world.
Until next time.
Live large and stay rare.
Thanks for listening to the Because We're Strong podcast. To continue the conversation about rare disease and all the unknowns that come with it, don't forget to subscribe and catch us next week for another episode. To learn more about our stories or how to share yours, visit www.findyourrare.com. Feel free to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We look forward to connecting and bridging the gap between the struggles of the rare disease community and the rest of the world.